Is the next generation important to God? Is the next generation important to Calvary Church? We're going to look at the priority of the next generation tonight. And I want you to know, as the high school pastor here at Calvary, it's truly an honor to watch our students thrive in the Lord, to grow. And it's something about, I've worked with students for about 12 years, and there's something about students that they so easily get passionate about crazy things, but also they so easily, if you can help them, if you can guide them, they so easily get passionate for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's truly a pleasure to work with them. I find it hard to believe that I have been here at Calvary for almost 2 years, so I've made it so far. And my very first time coming here was the interview process, and a young man named Bo Abbott gave me a tour of Calvary Church. And right as we walked through the Calvary Life Center, for the very first time, I looked over and saw a plaque on the wall, and it had the same text we're talking about tonight, Psalm 78. I'm very thankful for the biblical foundation that Calvary has for student ministry. That and its philosophy are one of the main reasons why I chose to come here to serve along with you all. And one of my favorite things that I learned about Calvary is that its mission statement, to be and make authentic followers of Christ, that does not change for the students. In many churches, it does. There's a different mission statement. It's almost like the student ministry is a silo ministry that's off to the side, and it does its own thing. Here at Calvary, our students are a part of the body of Christ. Our children are as well. So it's an honor to work with so many fantastic families here. I'm excited to be a part of a church that holds the next generation as a priority. So we'll be in Psalm 78 tonight. And this is a psalm of remembrance, of celebration, pointing to Israel's past and showing how God preserved his people, even though they turned their back on him many times. It goes all the way from the Pentateuch to King David. Before he gives them, in verse 9, he starts to give them the history. But verses 1 through 8, he tells them what to do with this history. And what are they to do is to pass it down, pass the word of God down to the next generation. This is going to be a very simple message tonight with only 2 points. We'll take two very simple truths from Psalm 78, and we'll ask the question, what does this mean for the parents, and what does this mean for the church? Before we read scripture together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, tonight as we consider our children and our students, God, and consider what scripture says about them, we pray that we would be a church that holds them in a high priority. God, we pray that you would teach us from your word tonight, and thank you that your word never comes back void. God, may we learn. May you teach us tonight. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's read Psalm 78, starting in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open up my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that have heard, that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers to teach them to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet even unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord, but instead keep his commands, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Point number one tonight, we must teach the next generation God's word. Simple point. We must teach the next generation God's word. History is very important. It's very important to know history. It gives wisdom. It gives counsel. Before I came here as the high school pastor here at Calvary, when we started talking, the very, very first thing I did, do you know what it was? Go to my computer, Google Calvary Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I found some wonderful things. I learned about the history, the ties to Billy Graham. I learned about the beginnings of Operation Christmas Child. I learned a little bit about the history of student ministry. And that helped me. Knowing that history helped me on day one here know who Calvary Church is and what it's about. History is important. And we are commanded to teach our history, to teach God's history to the faith, to the generations. We see this command in many parts in Scripture. Here's just a few examples. Deuteronomy 4. If you go with me to Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. This is Moses. Go to verse 9. Only when you go into the land, take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. In Exodus 12, we see the institution of the Passover, the feast. Was that feast to happen just one time in celebration? No, in verse 14, he commands them, this feast shall be held for generations to follow. And even today, when we take of the Lord's Supper, what do we say right before we take of the juice and the cracker? What do we say, the words? Do this in remembrance of me. And we quote our Savior in that as a memorial. It's interesting, if we look at verse 4, this is the command. He says, we will not hide them from their children. Do not hide them from the children. It's interesting. I don't imagine that there's any Israelite hiding their scrolls, digging into the ground, hiding their scrolls, or hiding the history from their children. But the question really is, are they intentionally teaching their children? Probably nobody here, no parent or church member is actively trying to hide their Bible from the children, from the next generation. But this is exactly what happens when we let apathy, procrastination, indifference, schedules get in the way of generational discipleship. How are we intentionally and frequently teaching the Word of God to the next generation? First, parents. This is a command given to us first as parents. We see this in Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3. And it's given first and foremost, the parents are to be the primary discipler. Parents, I encourage you, let us take a moment and evaluate ourselves. When was the last time you began a Christ-centered conversation in your home? I heard a youth pastor ask this once. What do your children see you celebrate the most in their lives? What do your children see you celebrate the most in their lives? Is it when they shoot a basketball or kick a soccer ball? Or do you celebrate more the spiritual milestones that they hit, the spiritual development that they have in their life? What do they see us celebrate more in their lives? Multiple parents, and since I'm a youth pastor, have been one for a while, multiple parents have come up to me and they've asked me this question. And it's normally in the context of their student is 15, 16, 17 years old, and they are trying to get their student back into church. And the student has avoided church for a while, and they will ask me this question. Cameron, can you help me get my students involved, interested in church? Can you help me get my child to church? There's a question I ask. I do not automatically say yes or no to that. There's a question I will always ask, and that is, what do devotions look like in your home? What does prayer look like in your home? Because if you are not teaching reading the Bible, and regularly praying in your home, then we cannot help you get your child here to church because they are being taught how to avoid their spiritual life at home. It starts at home. A good question for us to consider, members of Calvary Church, does your student's life group leader teach them the Bible more consistently than you do? When a parent starts outsourcing discipleship to other people and to other organizations, they are hiding their faith from their children. Parents are the primary discipler. Parents, prioritize God in your home. Although this is a call to the parents, this is not a call only to the parents. At Calvary, we do not believe, we believe that a parent should be the primary discipler, but we do not believe that any parent should disciple alone. The church is to come along the side of the parent and the families and serve and equip and support. If we are going to disciple and teach the next generation, I believe we need all of the generations before it to invest. One of my biggest pet peeves, if I see a church, is to see if they have, if they've done ministry in a way to where they completely separate the church and students. And for some reason, that is so pushed in our culture today, I think. And it's done with really dangerous characters. Characters that point out the grumpy boomers on one side and the ungrateful Gen Z. And never should the two meet. And that's pushed. And a lot of churches have reacted to that and changed their philosophy due to that. And they will change it to where anytime the adults are having a worship service in the sanctuary, the students are going to have more age-appropriate worship every single time that the adults meet. And so anytime that worship is going on, students and the adults are separated. And it becomes, while the adults are having the real worship, the students are having the fun worship, completely separated from one another. The greatest truth that came out of youth ministry is that we must be intentional with our students. The greatest lie that has ever come out of youth ministry is that this is done best when the students are completely separated from the church body. In fact, it does the opposite, I'm convinced. What do you think happens when we take impressionable young believers away from the experienced mature believers? When the generations separate like this, the truth, right here in our text, the truth is being hidden from the next generation. This is the reason if you're new to Calvary and you were here this morning, whenever you came in, it might have been a surprise to see fourth graders, fifth graders, middle schoolers and high schoolers and adults all together. But this is why we do family worship, so that the family can worship together with the family of God all together. If the next generation is going to know about the Lord and his word, we must be intentional and teach the word of God with intentionality. Many of you here serve in children and youth ministries, and if you don't, I challenge you to consider. When you serve in children's ministry, the next time you are simply reading a Bible story or sharing a short devotion or your testimony with a child, take a moment to understand the real life heavy impact that you are making, not just in that child, not just in that child's family, not just in the current church, in Calvary Church, but in the future of the church as well. It's a major impact that you are having. This is not just when you volunteer in Awana Nursery, student ministry, this is not simply another form of child care that we hold so that the real worship can happen in the sanctuary. It is intentional kingdom investment and advancement every time that you volunteer to work with Next Gen Ministries here at church. My wife and I are raising a wild 3-year-old boy right now. And I'm a student minister, so I see the years that are coming often. I see what our teenagers are going through. I see what persecution looks like, even here in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a teenage Christian. And when I look and see what he's going to have to go through, and my wife and I look at that, it's a little intimidating. to be honest with you. It's a little disheartening. And we would be foolish not to think that the Satan himself is not already attacking our three-year-old boy. He is. And so when we, it's hard not to look at that and be overwhelmed. But I want to share with you how, as a parent, I have experienced Calvary. One of my favorite things to do with my son is to kind of rock him a little bit before I put him down to bed at night. And we read a book, and then we sing a song or 17 songs before we can put him down. And two of his favorite songs are, I'm trying to teach him some hymns, although I'm a millennial. And so I'm teaching him these hymns, and his favorite songs are Amazing Grace, which is wonderful to hear my son sing Amazing Grace, and Old MacDonald. And sometimes it's a mashup of both. And I have to be careful with the theology when that happens. But I realized a few, probably about 6-7 months ago, I'd never actually taught him the song Jesus Loves Me. What a very simple song, but what a very powerful song for children to know. I want him to know that song. And I realized I had never done that before, so I thought, well, I'll start it tonight, and a few weeks later, he might have heard it so many times that he can sing along with me. And so I started singing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And as soon as I sang, For the Bible Tells Me So, I heard his little voice sing every single word of that entire song. And I had not taught him that. His mother had not taught him that. But he's enrolled in the CDC here at Calvary, and he attends the children's ministries here at Calvary. And I don't know who it was at Calvary, but one of you taught my son that Jesus loves him. And it was one of the very first moments as a parent that I could drop my shoulders, exhale a little bit, and look at my wife and say, we don't have to do this alone. For me, it was a beautiful picture of how Calvary Church has come alongside my family and is helping me raise my boy. I praise the Lord that Calvary Church prioritizes the teaching of God's word to our students, to our children. And let me assure you, they are not my students. They are not Micah's students. They are our students for all of us to minister to and to minister with. Come with me to Psalm 71. Turn with me to Psalm 71, just a few pages back. I think it's clear and simple. If we do not recount God's word and our faith to the coming generation, it will be forgotten. Psalm 71, verse 18. This, I'm going to challenge you to make this your prayer tonight. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. The next generation must be taught God's word. This is central to our next gen ministries here at Calvary. And how important was it earlier to see the We Praisers up here? Did you see the words that they were singing? Do you know how important that is for them to sing those words at that age? These are our future leaders of our church. They will one day be choir members, door greeters, deacons, elders, pastors. It is important to start young with them. Point number two, we must call the next generation to understanding and faithfulness of God's word. We must call the next generation to understanding and faithfulness of God's word. Our students must be called to faithfulness, and Psalm 78 tells us this. If you just skim through the chapter here with me in 78, and just look at these verses. Look at verse 17, verse 32, look at verse 40, verse 56. These are all the times the Lord was forgotten in Israel. The times where Israel sinned, turned their back on the Lord. It reminds me of Judges 2:10. The generation did not know the Lord. After Moses, we have Joshua, and then in Judges, right before Judges 2, Joshua passes. And then it says we have a new generation. A new generation came who did not know the Lord. And right after that text, what happens? They forgot the Lord. Idol worship followed very soon. Is the Lord forgotten today? This generation, this younger generation that we are working with today, is more absent from the church than they have ever been. With students leaving the church in record numbers never seen before in this nation. We must call them to understanding and faithfulness of God's word. How do we do this? I think Psalm 78 tells us this. We do this through personal relationship with them. Look at verse 6. That the next generation might know. It's the same word, by the way, in Judges 2. This know, whenever we see this in the Old Testament, often it has a sense of intimacy to it. This is not simply a transfer of knowledge from one brain to the next, but as a teaching in context of relationship or living lives with one another. In seminary, I had two professors of missiology, which is just the study of missions. And I had two professors that taught me this in seminary. The first professor was very good. I got there on day one, from the first day to the last day. He did a great job at looking at some scriptures like Matthew 28, Acts 1, through the book of Acts. And I gained a lot of knowledge about missions, and it helped me in my training to become a pastor. The second professor, my second missiology class, the second professor came up to me 2 weeks into the semester. And he said, Cameron, it's good to learn about missions. It's much better to experience it. And he invited me to go on my very first international mission trip to Turkey, where I went for 2 weeks and watched this professor not just teach, but show me what it meant to be on mission for God. I watched him as he was the hands, as he was the feet of God. Both of those professors were good. One of those professors taught me a lot about missions. The other one ushered me into a life-changing experience when it came to missions. This is how we are to teach our children. Deuteronomy 6 tells us as we are teaching our children, we do this as we sit down, as we walk by the way, as we lie down, as we rise. These commandments, we shall put them as symbols on our hands and frontlets between our eyes. We shall write them on our doorposts, on our gates. As we live life with the next generation is how we are to teach them. A few months ago, again, we took my three-year-old boy to a park, and he immediately went to a steering wheel. It was a little toy steering wheel. It had a little squeaker for the horn. And he immediately went there, and we thought, oh, that's very sweet. And a few minutes later, we heard him start hitting the horn, and he started yelling, get out of the way, get out of the way. It's what we call learned behavior. And later, I had to rebuke his mother and how she drives in front of her child. Now, he definitely got that from his father. 100%. But for children and students, for sure, if they spend enough time personally witnessing something, they will live it out, with very few exceptions. If they spend enough time with you witnessing your faith, they will live it out. This is especially true with parents. Parents in here. And this is our... parents in here. Brian Haynes writes a book, and he says, it's called Swift. And he's talking to parents, and he coins this phrase, God sightings. He talks about God sightings. And he encourages parents to give a spiritual purpose to everyday experiences. Everyday experiences give them a spiritual purpose. Sometimes he uses the term eternal purpose. Can we take regular everyday things and give them an eternal purpose? He uses examples like if you're taking a long drive with your child, if you're just taking them on a 15-minute drive to school and back, how can we make that and give that a spiritual purpose, give that an eternal purpose? Family meals, walks, vacations. family retreats, and he gives the idea, have you ever considered what a spiritual retreat might look like for your family? How do we give these things an eternal purpose as we live life together? The simple truth is that when we see a child, or when a child sees their mother or father being faithful to God, they are encouraged to do the same. But the opposite is true. If they see their parents being unfaithful to God and his word, they will likely follow in their footsteps. If your student was asked, parents, if I went up to your student, your child, and asked them to share with me your testimony, how well would they do? Would they be able to share your story with me because you have shared it with them so many times? Teach your children as you walk through life with them. Take every moment that you can. Our children are eternal beings. This is why for the church, we consider ministries to children and students like the CDC, the CCA, children's ministries, student ministries, vital to our church life. It is commanded that we display Christ to the next generation hand in hand with them, so that they will do the same with the generation yet born. This text is why almost every single Sunday morning, if you look up here at the platform, you will see students getting ready. They will have a microphone in their hands. They'll have an instrument in their hands. And it's also why we include them in Christmas services, important services. Here in a few weeks, we'll have our Easter services. And you better believe we will have students involved in all of these things. And if this is something that you've seen for the first time, you might be tempted to ask the question, well, isn't there an adult that's more qualified to do that? Isn't there an adult that has a better voice, a more trained voice to sing instead of that student? Isn't there an adult that is not as awkward as a teenager who could greet at doors? Isn't there an adult who's better at running, watching a camera? And the answer is yes. Yeah, we do have adults that are more trained, that have more life experience. But the fact is, if our students are going to be the leaders of the church one day in the future, then they must be a vital part of the church today. And it is commanded by Scripture. We started a ministry last year called Senior to Senior. Many of you in here were probably involved in that and still are. It is a ministry where we had the thought, I gave the vision to have each of our, to attempt to have each of our senior students, our 12th graders, pair them up with senior saints at Calvary and create prayer partners. And as I brought this idea to the student ministry team and told them this is what I envisioned, this is what I'm thinking we're going to do, let's pray over it, the question was asked, do the students want this? Is this something that they want? Well, can we get them to sign up for this? We have about, on average, 28 to 30 seniors here, 12th graders, every Sunday morning. So when we opened up the registration for this ministry, we really did not know what to expect. Within the first 2 weeks, out of the 30 students, we had 22 of our 12th graders sign up for the ministry. Within 2 weeks. Did they want it? Yes. Do they want your involvement in their life? Yes. Then we had another problem. Are there at least 25 senior saints who are willing to deal with teenagers? Are willing to come meet with them and pray with them? And so we opened it up. I worked with Pastor Jim Pyle, and we opened it up to the senior saints. And we did not have 25 senior saints sign up. We had 85 senior saints sign up. It was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in ministry. It was incredible. We had so many sign up that we had to turn away more than we used for our students. It was the moment I found out how passionate the generations were for one another and how much we need one another. Please do not wait for the next generation to come up to you and ask you for your spiritual influence in their life. They do not know how to do that. It is our generations that bear the privilege to go to them and give them our spiritual impact in their life. As their pastor, allow me to give you just a few different ways you can do this. And I'm going to challenge you to choose one of these at the end of this message here. The first one's obvious. Get involved. Come up to myself or Pastor Micah or Sue Ridge or the Mirrors who run Awana. Just come up to us. But I challenge you to ask this question. How can I fulfill a need? How can I fulfill a need in your ministry and get involved with the next generation? Number two, I challenge you to approach their parents. Approach the students' parents. Ask how you can support them. Ask how you can pray for them. Even better yet, ask them if you can take them out for a meal. Hear their stories. Share testimonies with one another. Share your wisdom with them. Pray for them. To our students, start a conversation with them. Share your testimony with them. What would it do for each of our students if they heard just one new testimony from Calvary Church every month until they graduated? They would love to hear from you of what it was like when you were a teenager, that phones used to have cords and no screens, how you came to know the Lord, why you are still faithful to the Lord even today. They would love to hear these things from you. Do not avoid them, please. Take a small interest in their life. Do not for a second think that the next generation believes that you are out of touch or irrelevant to their life. They do not want you for your cool factor that you offer. They need you for the wisdom and the love that they can only get from the body of Christ. You are qualified. You are not out of touch. You are not irrelevant to them. Encouraging our students to sit on the sidelines while the adults do the ministry only teaches them how to have passive faith. Your inclusion and service to and with our students matters to them and to the Lord. Many of you have Proverbs 22:6 memorized. Train a child when he is young, and even when he is old, he will not soon depart from it. We must be intentional. For a moment, compare the treatment of children and the expectations of children between the church, or God's people, rather, and the society surrounding, the society of the world. In the Old Testament, when Israel was sharing their faith and the Lord's commands to their children, the Canaanites were using their children as child sacrifices for their personal gain. In the first century, the Greco-Roman world, while the Romans were taking the children they did not want and putting them on trash heaps to donate to the government, the Christian church, the very new Christian church, were the ones going around picking up those children, adopting them, not just into their family, but into the family of God. And Jesus said these words when he was working with children that surprised the disciples: let the children come to me. What about now? What about today? How does our culture see the younger generation today? This generation that is experiencing more depression, the most self-harm, the most confusion about identity than any generation ever. And is confused, hopeless, isolated, scared. This generation is looking around at the adults in this world for answers. And the number one answer given to our children is look inside yourself and you can find truth and power. Brothers and sisters, if a teenager filled with anxiety looks inside of themselves, what will they find but more anxiety? While our culture views children and students as a way to get ahead, making a political point, or making a way of profit, Calvary Church is about loving them, investing in them, equipping them and their parents, supporting them, teaching them the scriptures of old so that they will not soon walk away from them or forget them. So as we conclude, I'm going to give you three points of encouragement, three challenges here. First challenge, parents, do not hide your faith from your children. Put it on full display for them to see every day. Are you intentionally teaching your children these truths the Lord's commands, God's word? Do they see you in the word and consistently obeying the Lord? Or do they see you as someone who is actively avoiding their own spiritual life? How often do you lead them to the Bible? Or do you hide it from your child by stating that the schedule is simply too busy for family prayer and devotion? Second challenge. In the middle of a society that divides the generations, for Calvary Church, we seek to bring them together. In Scripture, there is no generation gap. The enemy loves it when the generations are separated. For every adult in here, your ministry to the next generation is more than hiring a youth pastor, although I've heard great things about both of them. But go beyond that. Make a personal investment into the students. I've given you advice earlier, different ways where you can get involved. Ask yourself, what does my personal investment to the next generation look like? How do I personally prioritize the next generation at Calvary Church? And for everyone in here, I give you a challenge. Next Sunday, when you come to church, Sunday morning, find one student, ask them how their day is going, ask them their name, and how you can pray for them. Start with that. What if our student got prayed for by a different member of this church every single Sunday they were here? How do you think that would affect them? And then lastly, pray. First, pray and thank God for a church that places such a strong and high priority on our next generation. And pray for the next generation and the generation yet born and the generations that we will never meet. To be faithful to God's word and the testimony of Jesus Christ. If the next generation is a priority to God, the next generation is a priority to Calvary Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our students, for our children. The many difficulties they find in everyday activities, events, as young Christian believers, God, we pray that you would equip them, that you would strengthen them. But even more than that, God, we pray that you would use us, the church, to support, to equip them, to love them. God, I pray that before this month is over, that every single one of our children and students will be convinced that they are loved here at Calvary Church, that they are honored here, that they are a priority. For anyone here who is not invested into the younger generations, I pray that you would lead their heart. God, we understand that the next generation is important for the church today and the church tomorrow, so we pray that you would strengthen them. It's your holy, precious Son's name we pray. Amen.